Okay, the Old Testament reading for Second Sunday in Advent, upcoming, is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Actually there's a 7b is the way it appears in the Lutheran service book listing, and we'll kind of show where 7b occurs or how they determine that when we get there. It's interesting, if you take a look at the commentaries on Malachi or even a lot of Old Testament introductions, outlines for Malachi actually have the section in which this reading is contained is actually understood to begin with the accusation in 2:17. There's a series of disputes that Yahweh has with his people at this point, and because of their impieties, in the land, even as people who have been returned, or the exile and its aftermath should be somewhat more fresh in their memories than it is. In one way, the problems in the people are not different from what they were before the exile. They are people who confuse evil and good. One of the other disputes is along the lines of people who say, why is it important that we obey God at all when it seems like the bad people prosper and so forth. And one of the key questions leading up to today's reading in chapter 3 is the question, it's a rhetorical one because it's what God says the people are posing, where is the God of justice? And that is a recurring question. When bad things happen in the world, people wonder why God doesn't sort of show up immediately to bail things out. This is God's reply to that kind of question. So Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Hini sholeach malachi ufanah derek lefanai. Kind of behold I, or look at me, look toward me. I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare, a way before me, in front of me. Hine plus a pronominal suffix there, serving as a call to attention, and then also establishing God as the speaker, I, and that serving as the subject for the participial form shaleah. Next line, upithom yavo el hekalo ha'adon asher atem mibakshim. And suddenly, he, this messenger, will come to his temple. Now, already we're getting, sort of a mixed referentiality, because it's the messenger on the one hand, and then it's also, to be modified here momentarily, it's also one who is the Lord. Suddenly, he will come to his temple, Ha'adon, the Lord. Whom you are seeking. Atem, the second plural masculine nominative personal pronoun. And here, the role in the sentence, even though it's not indicated by a direct object marker, just fits the syntax better. And Mabachashim, a PL participle, masculine plural. Umalak, And the messenger of the covenant, Malach HaBarit, Asher Atem, whom you chafetzim are desiring. Hine va, behold, he comes. Amar Yahweh Tzevaoth, says Yahweh of hosts. So if there's the immediate answer to the question, where is the God of justice, is, you know, I am on the verge of acting. And it is that understanding of a soonness that fills this whole text and makes it a good one for an Adventide reading. Verse 2, Umi Mekalkel Et Yom Bo'o, Umi Ha'omei Vaheraotho, and who is enduring, so to speak, the day of his coming. Milkalkale is a pill pale participle for the hollow root cool or cold. And hollow roots don't work in the pale ordinarily. So in order to get a doubling kind of stem, that's where we get all of these sort of exotic conjugations, like the pill pale and the pal pale and a bunch of others like that. Bo'o, kal infinitive construct of bo, plus the third singular masculine pronominal suffix, who will endure the day of his coming, and who is the standing one, mi ha'omeid, who is the one who stands, behera'otho, in his showing himself, when he appears, is the typical, he ra'oth is the hifil infinitive construct of ra'a, to see, and we have the standard pattern for Hebrew temporal subordinate clause there with the beit plus the infinitive construct. So, who will endure the day of his coming, kind of the circumstances, and who will be able to stand when he appears? Next line, ki hu ka'esh mitzareif, because he is like fire of a refine of one who refines. We get about three different verbal roots that have to do with some sort of process of refining and purifying. And saraf is the first of those, another pal participle. So like a fire of a refining one, and thus we get, like a refiner's, apostrophe S, fire. Ukevorit mekabasin. Kevorit is some kind of cleaning or light, and borit is a kind of cleansing agent. In BDB, you'll find definitions like lye, potash, soap, alkali. And one who deals with kind of raw cloth to get it shrunk and any fading that's going to take place before it's actually used in making a garment, that is the root kavas. In the PL participle there, refers to that kind of activity, and that is a form. So, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. So again, two refining, cleansing activities. Verse 3, Vayashav mitzareif mitaher kesef. And I'll just kind of pause there because we get into longer phrases. And he will dwell or sit as a refining one, as a refiner, and as a purifier of silver. Mutahair, another PAL participle. This time the root tahar, which is also another purifying kind of word. This one's sort of interesting because if you do a concordant search on it, tahar is used about 100 times in the Hebrew scriptures, and 47 of them, almost half, are in Leviticus, and that, most of those are within the space of about 3 chapters. So on that basis, one could sort of suggest that it's a very priestly kind of word in terms of purification. It's also used a fair number of times in Ezekiel, maybe as many as 10. And, of course, Ezekiel, a very priestly-oriented prophet. And so now, the tihar et b'nei Levi. He will purify tihar. Now we have a finite form, a PAL perfect. The sons of Levi. The zekach otham. And he will, zekach actually is another purify word. Purify, and I don't know whether it's to say it's purify some more, but the idea with sort of piling up this vocabulary is that they will be truly cleansed. Next line of finishing up verse 3, Kazahav the Kakasav. He will do this all like gold and like silver. Which indicates the arduousness of the process. The purifying or refining of silver and gold is something that requires the application of heat. V'hayu le'Yahweh magishei mincha v'tzedakah. And they, the sons of Levi, will be or become for Yahweh Magishay, a hithiel participle, masculine plural, but now in construct, let's say reyod ending, bearers of a gift in or with righteousness. So whether the gift might even be a gift of righteousness, but they will, when the sons of Levi are purified, then they can bear a gift to Yahweh and do so in righteousness. Verse 4, V'arava la Yahweh min chat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim ki me olam u'kishanim kadmoniyot. And The gift of Judah and Jerusalem, that's the subject of Arava, which is a kal perfect third singular feminine. The minkat, feminine noun, singular, in construct with Yehudah and Jerusalem. So the gift of Judah and Jerusalem will be sweet or fragrant to Yahweh, like the days of Olam, of old antiquity, and like the years, the former years. Now, I've tried to do some exploring as to why Kushanim, maybe that's one of those, it's a feminine noun whose plural form is masculine, but the adjective Kadmoniyah, in order to agree with the feminine, retains the feminine ending. So it's shana, year, which is a feminine singular noun, but does something funky in its plural. So that's why you have an im ending on one word and an oath ending on the other. So the way the people come before God with their gifts will be purified, or pure as in olden times. V'karavti aleichem lamishpat, and I will draw near to you Notice now it's a personalized thing. It's not sort of a to them or anything like that. It's to you. I will draw near to you with or for judgment, perhaps justice. Both are contained in Mishpat. V'hayiti eid mimaher. And got to be careful here because now we're in verse 5, and the thing is that he is coming for judgment, and now we find out the personalities or characters on whom judgment will be imposed. And I will be or become a swift witness. Aid is witness. Mimaher is to be swift or rapid or something like that. Here the participle is being used more adjectivally to describe the witness. It would be a swift, which is to say that if the concern of the people is about the delay in the appearance of the God of justice, now he actually promises to dispel that. So he'll be a witness, and against what kind of people? A series of more participles, where the preposition bait is more to be read as against, as in distinction from with. So I will, enter into judgment with these characteristic peoples. Ba mekashithim is the first category, and they are those who practice sorcery. To do a kind of woodenly, they would be practicing sorcery ones. And against u bam not a fiend, and na'af is to commit adultery, just like in the sixth commandment. So against those who commit adultery. Uvanish ba'im la shakar, and against those who swear oaths to or toward falsehood or deception. So it's not just the swearing of an oath generally, but it's swearing, let's say, deceitfully or falsely. Still more. And this next participle seems to govern the next three who are actually victims of this kind of activity. Uva oshke, and the root ashak is something like oppress, in connection with the first category, sakir, wage of a hired man. It would seem to be something like extort, or potentially even withhold. But it's mistreating those who are hired for money. And the widow, almana, the yatom, and the orphan. The next one has its own participle. So three categories of people who are victims of different kinds of oppression. So it's those who oppress, let's say, employees, workers, widows, and orphans, and against those who turn aside the sojourner, the ger, umate ger. Notice the apparatus has a couple of things there. One in particular is that in the CC superscript there is that in order to maintain the parallelism with the preceding phrases that some want to add a bait before the mem. So there's the uvamte ger, and those who turn aside the sojourner. Next line, now closing out the verse, they do not fear me, says Yahweh of hosts. And you could actually treat that velo yareuni as more like continuing the kind of the relative clause design of the verse, so that it's God will enact justice against those who do practice all of these wicked things and who do not fear me. I mean, and that's obvious that that they practice all of these things because they don't fear Yahweh, which puts the first commandment at the heart of them all. Verse 6, in most of the structures, this would actually sort of begin the introduction to the next disputation, but the lectionary is including it as part of this reading, as a kind of... it gives a clearer opportunity for gospel. Verse 6, Ki ani Yahweh, I am Yahweh, lo shaniti, I do not change. Vatam, kind of as for you, Bnei Yaakov, sons of Jacob, you and kulithem is from kala, to be complete. The ESV has you are not consumed. Is it the notion that Yahweh is contrasting his unchangeability with the changeability of the people? Or is it something along the lines of your purification is not yet complete? That one would deserve some additional unpacking. And that finishes verse 6. Verse 7 now. Lamime avotekem sarkem mehuchai. One interesting feature about Hebrew and its tendencies in terms of referring to a span of time other than the very present is that the person sees himself standing in the present time. To go to a past time, he's got to go to there before he comes from there. So that's why you get the two prepositions, la and min. So, to from the days of your fathers, which is to say, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes, and you have not kept them, lo shamartem. Now, the next line is the B line in verse 7, and that is the concluding one in the lectionary setup. Shuvu Eli, return to me. Va'ashuva Aleikem, and I will return to you. And notice that it has the kanate ending, which marks this as cohortative. So it's we might be inclined to translate it, let me return to you. And yet it is the volative carries the notion of... Again, we don't do this very exactly anymore in English. It used to be, I shall is the ordinary future, and I will is the strong expression. This is the one that makes it the strong expression. I will return to you. It's a statement of a guarantee. Amar Yahweh Tzevaot, says Yahweh of hosts. And the interesting thing is that the last line in the verse introduces another one of these disputational questions on the part of the people. So that's why we have to stop with B. The second Sunday of Advent is typically, I think, the one in which John the Baptizer appears, the one who is the messenger who prepares the way before our Lord Jesus. And the one who comes to announce, the one who comes to winnow, the one who comes to baptize with fire, and so forth, the one who will bring purification and accomplish it through the sacrifice of himself. The call of the baptizer is in behalf of God to call people to repent, because to shuv, repent or return, because the kingdom, the reign of Yahweh is at hand. And that shows up in the person of Christ.